Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be rejoiced and be glad in it. God is good. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 19th chapter of Matthew, verses number 24 and verse number 25. Listen to verses 24 and verse 25 once again. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? That's our subject for the morning. Who then can be saved? Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our glorious Father, You have been wonderful and have given us many blessings throughout our lifetime. But the most precious blessing of all is the day You sent Your Son down here to this earth to hang, bleed, and die in order to save us. Thank You this morning. Thank You this morning for all You do for us. Thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for lifting the heavy eyelids that we had on this morning. Thank You for opening them up and propping them open that we may get up, use the limbs that we have available to us to get up and go about our daily routine. Thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, that this is the beginning of a brand new chapter in our life because we've never seen this day before. We've seen days like it, but we've never seen this day before. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You, Father, for the church here at Stony Island, the Stony Island Church of Christ. Thank You that it bears the name of Your Son, Jesus, who died to provide this church for us. Thank You, Father, for all the members here today and all the visitors. Thank You for those who are here to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this morning for our leaders and their families, as well as the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray that we shall have a pleasant and that this worship service may be found decent and in order in Thy sight, O Lord. Thank You, Father, and I pray for the sick this morning, those who are missing among us, those who are not doing as well as they'd like to be doing. Thank You for those who came out, even though they may not be doing as well as they'd like to be doing. Thank You anyway, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are grieving this morning, those who have lost loved ones. Please give them strength and patience and understanding to keep on going, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for all our parents who are raising children, the husbands, the wives, the mothers, the mothers, the fathers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, all of those, Father. Help us, Lord, to raise our kids in the right way and help us to teach them what thus saith the Lord. Father, we pray and ask You to be with us now as we move on into these services. Watch over and keep us. And when we have done all that we can do, allow us to remember the cross and do the right thing, O Lord. And when our time has come, give us a home with Thee. In Thy Son Jesus' name, we ask all these blessings. Amen. In every life, there comes great and important questions that need to be considered and answered. The disciples asked an important question. They asked a question of life and death in the text today. They asked, who then can be saved? And then the question becomes for us today, who then can be saved? When we think about our families and friends, it should cause us to wonder why some of them just do not seem to get the message that God wants all to be saved. If we take notice of today's message, then as we look at today's message, maybe we'll understand and get a better understanding, develop a better understanding of what thus saith the Lord. So the first part of this lesson is everyone needs to be saved. The familiar text of Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, it uses the term all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I'm pretty certain that we know the term all, what the term all means. It means without exception. It means that everything and everyone is included. All means all. All sinners. It implies that all are sinners. But all, at some point in time, we have all sinned. And I'm not calling anybody in here a sinner this morning. I'm simply saying we have all sinned at one time or another. The Word of God is equal opportunity here. It does not allow anyone, it does not leave anyone out. And I may as well let you know that Jesus is our saving grace. In order to be saved, we must come to know Him. Not only know Him, but I'm going to bring up a word that Brother Jackson used this morning. We must form a relationship with Him. A relationship. There are two important reasons to form this relationship with Jesus Christ. Number one, because in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 2, He is the propitiation of our sins. But not only our sins, but for the sins of the whole wide world. The sin of the whole world. The number two reason is that it gives us a better destination to set our sights upon. In Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Then we have a place to set our affections. In verse number 2 it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We've got to learn to accept the fact that once we form a relationship with Jesus, we've got to look for different outlets, if you will. We've got to walk and think and talk Christ. These two verses show that when we are baptized, we become a new man in Christ. Old things are hid in Christ. For He said, because I live, ye shall also live, in John 14 and verse number 19. A committed relationship with Christ puts us in the path of a believer's life. Do you remember in Philippians chapter 1 and the verses 21, where Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ. When we choose to live in Christ, your life shall surely change. We won't think the same, or we shouldn't. We shouldn't think the same. We shouldn't walk the same walk. We shouldn't speak the old physical. I mean, we shouldn't talk like we used to talk, nor walk the walk we used to walk. And I don't mean your physical walk. Because if you walk slowly, you're still going to walk slowly, even once you become in Christ. But I'm talking about your spiritual walk. We become as Christ in our lives. Christ should be our focus, not our old life, but instead it should be Jesus. He should become the principle and the focus of our lives, preparing for that day when death becomes gain. Oh yes, that doesn't sound very promising, does it? But it is. Death becomes gain. Yes, we'll lose all of our earthly comforts. We shall lose the earthly comforts that we have become so accustomed to. The earthly comforts that we know all so well. But then also we lose the evils of this life. They're also gone. No more weaknesses. Our focus should be to live and die in Christ. Number two, the second point I want to make, when you look at the Scripture, look at the text once again of verse number 25. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Well, we know that everyone needs to be saved. Now everyone can be saved. Christ did not die for some of us. He died for all of us. And Christ died for every last one of us. Not just some of us, but all of us. Everyone. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the statement was made of whom I am chief of sinners. I am chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. The word in this verse uses the plural term of the word sinner. Therefore, it's talking, have taken everything, everyone and everything into account. This is good news for everybody. This is good news for everybody because it means that all have received an opportunity to come to Jesus. Because Jesus came to save both you and me. And I'll tell you something. Don't think that because I stand in the pulpit, I don't have weak moments. Don't think that the preacher and the teacher and the elders and all of the leaders in the congregation don't have weak moments. Because we all have them. I woke up early this morning. I was awakened out of a dream and I didn't like the dream that I was having. And I thought about it, and the first thing that I did is I went to God and I asked Him to, Lord, take that away from me and put me back to sleep, if you will. And I tell you something, there's nothing like an early conversation with the Lord Almighty. There's nothing like a conversation with the Lord Almighty at any time. But I tell you, when you're having problems and when you're having troubles in your life, you often go to God in prayer. But anyway, I went back to sleep. That's the bottom line. That's what I wanted to tell you. In the verse of 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Paul said he was chief of sinners. And yes, Jesus can save him too. Yes, Jesus can save all of us. And I want you to watch for verse number 13 of 1 Timothy, how that it tells us that Paul not only was a sinner, but he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor and an injurious person. But he obtained mercy. And why did he obtain mercy? He did his job innocently, thereby showing to us, just because you think that you are right, just because you don't see no harm in the way you are living, does not mean that that's the way the Word of God looks at it. We need to consult the Bible to make sure we are living right. Notice in 1 John chapter 1 in the verse 7 how that the blood can cleanse sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. This is the continuation of having that relationship that I spoke of with God. Having that relationship. But you know something? When we think of relationships, we think sometimes of just a relationship of one-on-one. But we've got to have a relationship with God. We've got to have the relationship that God can, that we can reach out and touch God. And I don't mean a physical touch, but I mean reaching out and able to call upon Him whenever the time implies. And if you live in this life, you're going to have many times you're going to have to call upon the Lord. And you're going to need that relationship. Because I don't care who you are, trouble comes into our lives. Man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. That's what the Bible says in the book of Job. And I believe it because I know it to be true, because I know trouble comes to all people at some time or another. So when you look at the text again, and when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Preacher, I have troubles all the time. Can I still be saved? Well, Jesus died for all of us. He died for our sins. Jesus shed His blood for us to clean us up. Sin separated us from God, but God's love has brought us back to Him, and He left us with an opportunity to be saved and clean before God. So when I think about it, if I didn't know anything else in this world to thank God for, I can thank Him for giving us the opportunity to be saved. I can thank Him for going to yonder's cross that I may have an opportunity to be saved. Then the point becomes everyone must be saved while they are living. It's not a secret, but many folk like to talk about living in denial. They talk about death takes us away from our living comforts and our living here on this earth. For our chances of being saved must happen before death, because once the Terminator gets upon us, it's too late then. I can't say like some folk like to say every now and then. Some folk like to say he or she was saved on his deathbed. I can't say that. All I can say is this. All I can say is what the Bible says, and I remember reading in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. So many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. In verse number 4 it says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Therefore I believe one must lead a righteous life, put sin behind us, and not wait until we are on our deathbed. I wouldn't trust being on my deathbed before I try to get myself right with the Lord. The question of the text in verse number 25 there, where it asks that question, it says, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Well, the answer is in the Bible. The Bible, Jesus came to save all of us. When we live in this world, with all the temptation, it's no wonder that many find it hard to come to Christ. There are those who value good times over righteousness times. Others who value wealth over humility. Yet still others have found no room in their hearts for the Lord. A perfect example, do you know the story in God's Bible about the rich ruler, the young ruler who came to Jesus wanting to know how he could obtain everlasting life? How he could have, and the Lord told him, He said, guess what? You have to get rid of all that you have. You have to sell everything that you've got. And this man had great possessions. And he didn't want to get rid of everything he had. He said, but I followed all of this all through my lifetime. I've done those right things. But he didn't want to get rid of what he had. So what happened? The Lord found them guilty and called them a fool and said, fool, this night your life is required of thee. Isn't God good, church? God is wonderful. God is great. You know how that it's going to, you know how you have to, before you die. You have to get right with God before you die. And yes, none of us know the answer to the question of when am I going to die. If you think you know the answer to when you are going to die, then you're smarter than the Word of God. For the Word of God said, we know not the day nor the hour when we shall be called away from here. So I tell you something, church, the best time to prepare is to prepare while you can. Prepare while you can. And since we don't know when, we should consider that question of the day. Who then can be saved? So I ask the question of you right now. If Jesus came now, would you be found in a position of safety, or would you be called the fool? Would you be guilty of into death, be guilty and die this day without being saved? Or would you be able to say, I didn't know. No one told me. No one told me that I need to get right. No one told me that I had to open the Bible and read it. No one told me about 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15 where it says, study and show yourself approved. Study the Word of God and show yourself approved. Had I known about Philippians 4 and 4 where it speaks rejoicing in the Lord always. Had I listened to some of those old folk when they used to get at me all the time about coming to church. But I was too busy running with the world. But now I wish I had heard the preacher when he tried to talk to me. But I would not have been listening to him when he was trying to talk to me. I didn't hear him. Now it's my time. If the Lord has called me, I wished I had listened. But it's too late then. You've got to get right before you're called home. I wish that everybody would learn to get right before it's too late. And how do you know when it's too late? Well, today might be too late. This next minute might be too late. The next hour could be too late. But nevertheless, we must learn and we must accept the fact that if I'm going to be saved, I've got to get right with God. And I know you sing that song sometimes, let's get right and go home, church. Have you heard that song that we sing in some of the congregations? Let's get right and go home. Well, in those words, that the key is there. Let's get right and then go home. I think about it. I think about it often. I think about how many folk have left this world not prepared to go with Jesus. Not prepared to get into heaven. Not prepared to be with the Lord forever. And then I say to myself, all they had to do was to get right before they left this world. So then who then can be saved? Those who are right with God. Those who learn to get right with God. How do you know today is not the day and now is not the time? Now is the time to get right, but how do you know today is not your time? How do you know that now is not the time? All you have is this very moment. All we have is this very moment. So then I say once again, who then can be saved? Well, according to the Word of God, He would like for us all to be saved. He would like for everyone to be saved. Jesus died for everyone. So when I look at that text all over again, and I may as well just tell you about verse number 25 while I'm there. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then they ask the question, who then can be saved? Well, that's not saying that a rich man can't enter into the kingdom of God. That's only saying that it's easier than a rich man to go through the eye of a needle if he ignores God all of the time. You know, if you count your money as your God, you've got another God that's not going to get you into heaven. Because money will not buy you into heaven. There is no admission fare needed to get into heaven except your righteousness and your goodness and your following Jesus Christ. So then, who can be saved? All can be saved. But will all be saved? That's up to the Lord Almighty. But I tell you this much. When I look at the text and follow it once again, look at verse number 26 just as a point of reference. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's what I wanted you to hear, that with God all things are possible. Not some things, but all things are possible. So God can get us all in, and that's why He died for all of us, so that He could get us all in. So my point to you this morning is very simple. If you don't know God yet, if you have not met Him in the pardoning of your sins, you need to meet Him. And God is not far away that we can't meet, not so far away from us that we can't meet Him. God is closer than you think. God is good for us, and we need to learn to be good to God. And I ask you the question this morning. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to reach for safety while you still can? Would you like to be held in the greatest company of all the world has ever known? And that's Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't beat that company. And then the question becomes, what do I need to do, preacher, to be saved? How do I get saved? How do I become a part of that? How do I get into the body of Christ? Well, the body of Christ is the church. How do I get into the church? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And then, to those who have done that already, it becomes for you to ask God to forgive you of your past. And if you need to, come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you may gather strength to continue on your life journey of walking with God. Continuing in fellowship with God. Continue to walk upright with God, I should say. Walking with God, then who then can be saved? Those that the Lord chooses, and the Lord will have the final say. And I thank God that there's no man who shall have the final say. but only God Himself. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.